Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
This was kind of a, I'm not saying it's a media manufactured story, but in a way the media kind of went crazy with it.
What so a shock.
I have hesitations about it because there was the big thing about Maria Kang. She puts her, you've seen this picture. She, a mom,
or
young
the,
mom.
The ripped mommy.
The ripped mommy with
three little
boys.
Yep.
And puts a sign on it and says, "What's your excuse?"
Right.
So this hailstorm, everybody was talking about,
I remember that.
Right. And nobody was really saying anything because they weren't looking beneath the story. They were just looking at this thing. And beneath the story, what the woman talked about is, why do you think I'm bullying people? And they
right.
accused
they
her.
Said she was bullying moms if they weren't in shape.
Exactly. And that she was fat shaming people.
Oh, gosh.
And I went, what is fat shaming? Like, what?
I don't really know, actually. I'm not quite sure what fat shaming is. But I thought that people were mad because they were saying that she was saying any mommy who has weight to lose is lazy. And I think that's how it was interpreted. While I believe that her goal was to be inspirational or aspirational, I think that she was saying, if your body isn't ripped like mine, you know, you're lazy. Because there is no excuse. I have 3 kids.
Right.
And I think so. Right.
So then another mom posts a picture where she's not quite as ripped, and she goes, my excuse is I'm okay with this.
Yeah, but that mom is not unhealthy. She's just not, quote, ripped. Like, that's not a woman that's 50 pounds, 75 pounds, 100 pounds overweight.
Right, okay.
So, can I see that photo?
Yep.
So let me see this thing. So I'm looking at a photo. Yeah, no, she's not an overweight mom, though. She's just not a ripped mom. And that woman, and that is okay, actually. That's a healthy body. I think there are two separate parts of this conversation. Maria Kang, right, the woman that posts this ripped photo, I really do believe that her goal was to be aspirational. But I think a lot of moms took it as an attack of like, if you're not ripped like me, you're lazy. The reality is that she's provocative, right? She's thought-provoking. And I like that. I think it's very good to have these kinds of dialogues and conversations. I don't think that her intention was to fat shame anybody. I think she was trying to say, if I can do it, you can do it. That's right. My interpretation of it, because that's my psychological reality. That's the reality of my internal world. Everything I've experienced up until now skews me to see her photo and her message in that way. But somebody else who may have been fat shamed or who may feel insecure about their body would project a message of attack. Absolutely. And
but that's their stuff, though.
I agree. And so my message is, this is very simple. If you are okay with it, then you wouldn't need to posture and post a photo and fight back and say she's shaming you. Because it's really just, no one can make you feel anything you don't want to feel. You understand what I'm saying? No one can make you feel ashamed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Unless you already feel ashamed. So she might be triggering something in you that already feels ashamed, or pushing a button in you that already feels ashamed. And that's really what you need to look at. So if you were a mom, or not even a mom for that matter, a woman who's not in perfect shape, and you saw that photo and you felt like you were being called lazy, or you were being challenged, or you felt ashamed, that's a feeling that's already living inside of you. And if you didn't, you would look at it and be like, oh, good for her. Well, awesome. She looks great. Wow, that's cool. Oh, how inspirational. Neato. You know, and I think that you're right. It is your stuff, and you've got to look at it. And the world is going to constantly bring you different stimulus to trigger you and challenge you. And that's what I do love so much about life, is that we are, you know, if you're not numbing yourself out, we are forced to really deal with our feelings and look at the world. But I would say, you know, this is a conversation you and I have a lot here about responsibility and taking responsibility for your feelings. No one can make you feel something. You feel it. It's in you. So look at it and look at why it's in you. And, you know, it's very funny. I got asked a question. We did an event a few months ago called Sweat USA, right?
Yep.
And one was Sweat AC, Sweat Atlantic City, and there were some bloggers in the room. And I hate to admit this to you, but I do so many of these things. I can't remember if this woman was overweight, but my assumption is she must have been overweight. And I think she said something about women loving themselves at every size. Or no, what's healthy and what do I think is the perfect body? I think it was something like that. And, you know, shouldn't women accept themselves at any size?
Okay.
And I said, look, you know, I think the perfect body is a healthy body, a body with the right numbers. And, you know,
you've always said that.
Always said that. Your cholesterol, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, all of that stuff. That to me is a healthy body. The rest is a matter of aesthetics. And you're very rarely going to find somebody who is obese with a healthy body, with their numbers in the right place, right? Blood sugar, cholesterol, and so on. That to me is important. And that's something that I am going to hammer home, because your physical health plays a significant role in the overall quality of your life. Your confidence level, your energy level, your ability to be involved, to be on the mountain skiing with your kids, to be playing soccer with your kids, or to have a good sex life with your partner, or to feel confident in that business suit while you're closing the deal. That transcends. A healthy body is going to transcend into other areas of your psyche. So when someone says, well, I'm 100 pounds and I'm okay with it, I don't really believe that. I don't really believe it. 100 pounds overweight, sorry.
Right.
I don't really believe that, personally. I think that when you use food as a coping mechanism, you're struggling with certain issues, like we all do, but with food, you wear it. And I think that clearly you're dealing with something. There are issues that are making you unhappy. There are things that should be resolved. And I don't think that somebody who is very physically unhealthy is very happy about it. I personally don't believe it. Not in 22 years of doing this job, not having been overweight myself. And then this girl tried to make headlines. What a shock. And said something like, Jillian Michaels says fat people hate their body. What did she say, G? Something like, I said fat people hate their... I can't remember. Of course, I did...
Hate themselves,
right. Which, of course, I never said.
No.
But the reality is that this girl had issues of her own about her body. And she read into what I was saying because, you know, and it's like, I accept myself at 100 pounds overweight. And it's like, but I wish you wouldn't. I want you to love yourself always, because the first step to getting healthy is to love yourself, is to value yourself, because you have to feel lovable and worth it in order to invest in yourself and make that change. Does it make you any less valuable of a human being? Absolutely not. We are all equally valuable and equally deserving. And if you don't have that feeling, then, as I said, you're not able to embark on that journey of self-improvement, no matter what area it is of your life. And we are all on it. We are all works in progress. But I don't want somebody to be like, I'm 100 pounds overweight and I'm cool with it. I don't want that, because I know how sad it's going to be when you're James Gandolfini. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He had a 14-month-old kid. Do I need to say more? Mm-hmm. I would never want him to be like, I'm good with this. Really? Well, now you have a widow and a baby with no dad. So really? Really? And I bet you would have wanted to watch that kid grow up. So I think when it comes to your physical health, I'm never, ever going to tell you that's okay. Because I think that there's tragedy waiting in the wings for you if you continue living that way. Are you okay as a person? Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I don't think this woman was trying to shame anybody. I think she was trying to inspire.
Right.
And I get that. But if you read into it, I do believe it's your stuff. And you need to look at it and ask what the lesson is trying to teach you. Just like that blogger who kind of came away going, Jillian Michaels says fat people hate themselves, which of course I never said.
Okay, well, let me throw this question at you then.
Do it.
If here's the gal, she got attacked for it. So then why then does, what is her name? Channing Tatum's wife, what's her name? Jenna Dewan.
Gotcha.
So she's on November's Self magazine. And she just had the baby. Why does no one attack her? There she is, strutting her stuff. You know what I mean? Like, why? What gives her a free pass and this gal not? Is because this gal's more us and a celebrity's too unattainable. So, you know,
there's that. There's definitely that. But did she say anything like, if I can do it, why can't you?
No.
Because that's the message of what's your excuse is, if I can do it,
because she's throwing
you?
Down the gauntlet.
Okay. She's issuing a challenge.
I gotcha.
She's being confrontational.
Well, I bet you Channing Tatum's wife maybe said it in private.
You think?
Well, I don't know. I don't know her personally, but I'd like to meet her. She seems like a nice girl.
You know what's interesting is there's such stigma, too, around moms and bodies and kids. And, oh, my God, it's just nuts. And a woman can have a baby and be in the best shape of her life. Allison Sweeney was in better shape after having two kids than she was before them. Heidi had, two kids. I forgot she didn't have Lou. Heidi had Phoenix. And, I mean, her body's amazing. Like, my friend Vanessa Marcel had Cassius. Her body's amazing. Like, you can absolutely, like, your body it comes back from pregnancy. We're meant to have babies. It's a journey, I'll tell you. It's tough with the hormones going on. Just from the postpartum aspect and the sleeping, like, it takes a minute. You got to give yourself some time.
Right.
You got to be loving and give yourself a minute, sure. But the body will go back. The mind will go back and things will normalize. But people, it's just, they're so sensitive and they're so insecure. And anything that's confrontational is going to feel like shaming. And this threw down the gauntlet. This was confrontational. And a lot of people don't handle confrontation well. But I say God bless her. I think it's good. People should look at themselves and look at their lives and see what's coming up and get to the bottom of it.
Okay, now I have one more thing.
Yeah.
Ooh. Not to prolong this, but since we're talking about front page of, where the hell did I put it?
Oh.
Front page of thing. Okay. Melissa McCarthy.
You know, I love her.
Love her.
I know. She's fabulous.
Her. Now, she's on the cover of Elle. So she's getting up, taking the heat because she's wearing a ring. Okay, look. So she's
a really cool overcoat.
Overcoat. And so they're saying that she's in trouble saying trench coat. And she's saying she's their Elle or whoever it is trying to hide her body.
First of all, I love that Elle put her on the cover. So I don't think they're trying to hide anything. I think they're making a bold statement by putting Melissa McCarthy on the cover of Elle magazine.
But they're saying, why wasn't she in something more fitting?
Who cares?
Exactly. Exactly. So my point?
Why are you in those jeans?
Why am I?
Well, she can wear them. McManus still got a little junk in that trunk.
I got a little junk in the trunk, and because I'm feeling, you know.
Oh, she's feeling her oats. She's feeling herself a little bit.
No, ever since I.
Whoa.
G is here. Giancarlo was here today, and he was asking me how life was going, and I said I'm starting to feel a little bit like it's time to get. Stella got the groove back, so I decided.
Are you feeling frisky again?
I shaved and I put on some tight pants.
Too much information.
Well, I don't mean I shaved all over. You know, I'm a Italian.
Whoa.
But anyway,
whoa.
I just so and I thought, you know what? I want to continue this feeling, so I put on my my tight ass jeans. And I know they're a little bit tight because I'm going through the change. But you know
we
what?
Don't know that yet.
You know what?
Yeah.
I just feel it's time.
Well, you look good.
Oh,
I think you do. I walked in today and said, you don't look awful today.
I don't.
It was the first thing I said.
And the first thing Giancarlo, when he's here, he said, you don't look awful.
Yeah.
It's her Halloween costume.
It's Halloween. You know what, Jake? My boot would fit really well up your ass right now. I'm teasing. What was my point with Melissa McCarthy? It was that.
I don't know, but you need some action.
No, this isn't about me. It was a point.
G, take one for the team.
Shut the segment down.
Shut it down.
Come on, G.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell, buddy. Let's make this happen. It'll be so much more agreeable and likable if you just handle this once and for all.
Can you imagine what would happen?
What if G and I got it on?
Ooh.
I'd have to put on your wife's a picture of your wife's mask on my face, and then maybe you'd do it. And if you had a couple of tequilas, well, maybe on the tour bus. Who
maybe
knows?
Okay,
things happen on a tour bus.
There's a chemistry here for sure.
Definitely.
Oh no!
Chili.
Oh God! Chili. Oh my God! Okay, all my future trainers, my little ambassadors of health and wellness, it's NASM time. Are you ready? The National Academy of Sports Medicine wants to help make your dreams come true. These guys are one of the best certifying organizations for fitness trainers in the business. You can earn great money in a career that you love. They guarantee that you're going to land a job within 60 days of earning your certification, or they're going to give you your money back. And you can get started with a free 14-day sneak peek of their fast, fun, easy online program. It's at usatrainer.com. Very simple, usatrainer.com. So if this is a dream you've had or a passion that you've wanted to explore and go after, what are you waiting for? Go to usatrainer.com and get started today. Jake, screw. We had this great opening.
Yeah.
We were amazing.
Probably the best opening we've ever done.
That was 2 minutes of pure genius.
It was gold.
It was a Marconi Award.
What's that?
That's the radio.
A radio award.
Why don't I have one of those? What? Autumn, find out who's in charge of that.
Who's in charge of the Marconi Award?
Who's in charge of that?
We do. We just. It's in Janice's name.
You kill me. That's the first thing she says. Why don't I?
What's that?
The Marconis. George Marconi was the first guy ever with a radio. And there's an award every year. The Marconi, I think it's George. I hope it's George.
Janice,
Marconi Award.
Get on that. Figure out who you got to sleep with. I deserve that. That award.
Well, and now we'll never get it because the 2 minutes of brilliance.
Well, Jake didn't turn on the button. Just great.
And I had a dress and everything. Because when I get to go, and
dress?
Just sit there at the dinner. Marconi Award.
God knows if you showed up in a dress.
You'd get to go up and get the award. But I would hope I would be invited to sit at the table.
I doubt it.
You have to bring your... I know you think I'm the worst producer in the world, but you would still have to bring me.
No, not in the world.
In the planet.
That you're probably the reason I don't have my Marconi.
I just... Okay.
Now that I know that exists, you've been hiding that
yes,
from me.
Yes, there is an award. There's a radio award.
Find me every producer that's ever won a Marconi. I want a list. I want one of these.
I was part of a show that won a Marconi.
Bill Handel.
The Bill Handel
Damn
show.
Damn it. That Bill
I was
Handel.
Part of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, obviously, you weren't the part that won the Marconi.
I was a cog in the wheel.
Yeah. All right. One that got overlooked when he got his Marconi. Or maybe
no,
it was
I never
a sympathy
got,
grab.
And it's true. I never got to go to the dinner in my dress.
Yeah. Well, now I have to do a fitness segment. No wonder you make me do these because you know it'll keep me from my Marconi.
From your Marconi. I'm going to find out about the Marconi. I'll find out.
Fine. Back to my.
Oh, my God, you kill me.
Back to my pool of mediocrity. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I had come up with a fitness segment for you. And although you may have heard me give some of these tips, I tried to put them together in a bit of a system here.
Okay.
So there's a theme. And I decided that the theme was to hit the accelerator on your workout.
Okay.
Although we have done this theme before.
Maybe a form of the theme.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, it does involve the warm-up and the cool-down. And I've always said that you should use your foam roller as your cool-down.
I should have.
Because working those knots out of the muscles, getting the blood flow going, quote, myofascial release or massage is the best thing you can do for post-workout improvement of soreness. Best results.
Yeah.
Okay? But at the same time, a lot of people are foam rolling before they work out. I actually always preferred like a cardio warm-up with some dynamic stretches, but now they're doing more foam rolling before they train because what they're saying is that by working out some of the knots in the muscles, you're increasing your range of motion, which is helping you hit more muscle fibers, gain more intensity, and a better burn.
It makes sense, but psychologically to be lying down, rolling, and then working out
I know,
out would be
it
hard
does feel
me.
Sort of, but maybe, you know, I do try to do it before I run because of my hips and my IT band, so it helps me run.
Yeah.
But I would say maybe spend 5 minutes or 3 to 5 hitting the muscles you're going to train, then do your cardio warm-up, then your dynamic stretches, and you're off to the races.
Right.
Now, another one that I thought, I read this study recently that talked about how people like to look in the mirror, and that's kind of been this big thing, look in the mirror, watch your form. But they're saying that because you're looking at yourself and it's a flipped version of yourself, that it's not the best way to train. And instead, turn away from the mirror. Yeah, and you want to literally face away from the mirror because you automatically focus more on what the movement feels like instead of how it looks. And that biological feedback outweighs anything that you can get from watching your own form.
Oh, that's fascinating to me. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to try it because I have found personally, I have found that the mirror helps me because I do see a lot of the imbalances in my body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, my squat is atrocious. It really is because my hips are messed up. And I watch my videos. I'm like, oh God, it's just my left hip always caves in on every squat, every single one.
And I wonder if that affects though how you're. If you're always judging it, going, look at my hip, look at my hip, look at my hip.
You know, I've started to sort of get away from the mirror and just think form, right? I'm like, okay, outside tension on the knees, foot placement, knees tracking over the big toe, over the ankle, bottom down, chest up. And I'll be curious to kind of go back in the next DVD that I tape and see what my form looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that is absolutely the way to do it because you pay more attention to your body position than the feel. Next is we've talked about the cadence of your repetitions, but what's the point of building strength if you don't have that explosive strength? You really do want to focus on building those fast twitch muscle fibers. So try hitting the accelerator on your reps, the concentric part of your repetition, which means the shortening of the muscle. So that looks like, let's say you're doing a lat pull down. All right. You're sitting at the little machine and you've got your hands on the bar above your head and you're pulling it down to your chest. Well, you're shortening the muscle as you're pulling the bar down, so that's called concentric. So each contraction has three parts, the concentric part where you pull it down, the isometric part where you hold for a minute at the midpoint. And then the eccentric part where you control the release of the weight, but the muscle is stretching back out. So on that concentric part of the repetition, practice, once you have good form and you can manage the weight, practice accelerating your pace. So an explosive row.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Makes sense?
Yes, it does. It does.
Huh?
Yeah, because I get into this rhythm. I have a rhythm in my head, and it's just the same rhythm all the time when I'm especially in lat pull.
But by making it explosive,
it would change things.
You build more strength, and of course, you're also accelerating your burn. You got more intensity.
Yep.
Now, this one I thought was kind of interesting. Well, you know what? Hold on. I'm going to get back to these weird ones in a minute. Obviously, we talk about thinking beyond barbells and beyond machines, which is big. We talk about body weight training, but also really try to explore, get some lessons in it, but try to explore more non-conventional forms of training, whether it's sledgehammers and tires, resistance bands, battle ropes, sleds, because what you're doing is you're hitting those muscles from different angles of push and pull. And what this does is the more diversely you train the body, the less prone it is to adapt, but the more well-rounded you'll be as an athlete, the more functional you'll be, the more fit you'll be. It prevents the plateau, which is key. So try to get away from those very typical straightforward ranges of motion, front to back, side to side. Get away from the machines. Get away from those barbells. Go more free weights, kettlebells, dumbbells, alternate types of training like the tractor tires and sleds and so on. And it will really help improve your athleticism and your burn. We talked a lot about taking rest days. But another thing to think about is a rest week. And it's not the whole week off. But let's say you're lifting for 6 weeks, right? At a minimum, every 6 weeks you can take a week off. At a maximum, every 8 weeks, every 2 months, you should take a week off. And while it's not off, what you're doing is you're dialing it back. It's generally called periodizing training. But if you continue to push at that intensity, the body is going to burn out. And there comes a point where it stops making progress. You've got to give it some recovery time. So we've talked about resting on certain days of the week where you train each muscle twice a week and you rest 2 days before you train it again. But this is a bit of a different concept. So you've been training real hard for 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. And then for 1 week, if you've been lifting 30-pound dumbbells, switch to 25s. If you've been resting for a minute before you train that muscle again, and I don't mean resting doing nothing. I mean conditioning a different muscle until you train that muscle again, do it for 90 seconds. If you've done 4 sets of that exercise, do 2 sets or 3 sets. Dial back the training. Dial it back about 30% for a week. And then you gradually ramp it back up again and make improvements over 6 to 8 weeks and then go back 30%. And it's very much a 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. 3 steps forward, 2 steps back.
Yep.
But it really works, especially if you're in a sport or you're looking for true performance. Because I've noticed, even with my running, I was like, why am I not getting better? Why do I feel like I'm just like, ugh. And, I hit this wall and my boxing coach does these running clinics and he's like, I want you to just, you're pushing for 5 miles and you're pushing your pace and you're not getting any better. Just run 3 for the week and pace it at, 5-7. And I was like, really? Because, I was trying to get 5, 6-minute miles and just not getting there, just not making it. And when I went back the next week, my performance was better.
That makes sense. That makes total sense.
My hips bothered me less, obviously.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. And then this is kind of odd. These are things I haven't heard about before. Or this one is. This one obviously is obvious. The caffeine before you train.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes before you train, up to 200 milligrams. Get it in a supplement form because coffee is not just caffeine. So a clean form like eBoost. Great way to help your athletic performance and enhance your burn, obviously, because you're lifting a little bit more rep, a little bit heavier.
I do that. Have a cup of coffee before the coat.
Not eBoost, though?
I don't know. I just, because I love, I know, but.
I know. The coffee, I drink coffee for the ritual of coffee.
Yeah.
When I think about athletic performance, when I think about using caffeine as an athletic performance enhancer, then it should be in supplement form.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, because it's. you know, when you get something like eBoost, it's got anti-inflammatories, it's got antioxidants, it's got electrolytes, it's a performance enhancer, it's a total body support system, whereas coffee dehydrates you, it spikes in your system, you don't know how much caffeine you're actually getting, it's got a host of chlorogenic acid, a bunch of other crap in it that's bad for your stomach. So coffee is not the ideal way to use it with regard to fitness.
Okay.
You know, because you want something that has a controlled amount of caffeine, that won't dehydrate you, that's time released. Way better way to go.
Okay.
Autumn, get this woman some eBoost.
Got it.
God. Geez. All right. Now, this I thought was really weird. I don't see any of us doing it, but I thought I'd throw it out there because I read this study and thought, what the hell? Mouth guards. They say that when you're lifting, you should use a mouth guard and clench your teeth because it increases blood flow to the areas of the brain that are associated with motor control and timing. And it creates greater force production and a better workout.
Really?
Yeah, so I thought CrossFitters might find that interesting because they're very into that, like, Olympic lifting. I thought that might be an interesting... Maybe I'll try it on Bob. How silly will he look with knee socks and a mouth guard?
He would look, you know, and if you don't...
And his mustache and his gold tooth. Bless his heart.
He's got that stash going. That stash is...
I know. I don't know what to tell you. It's through thick and thin. Till death do us part.
He is your husband.
He comes in every day and it's like one day he has a mustache, one day he has a gold tooth. He has a gold tooth this season. I'm telling you.
Yeah, he got that put on, didn't he?
He did, and he did it because he wanted to, he was like, he knew that it would make the producers of the show mental, so he put a gold tooth on.
That's kind of awesome.
I have to say, I was his own little silent revolt. But yeah, a gold tooth, a mustache. Yeah, knee socks and a mouth guard.
And you know, if you don't have a mouth guard, you could always use your dental whitening trays. If you don't have a mouth guard handy, use your trays. Just in case you didn't have one handy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Because they're formed to your teeth better. Whereas a mouth guard, in the old days when we were playing sports, you know, you'd have to stick it in the hot water and boil it to your teeth. And, it's just, and sometimes they're huge. They're just gargantuous. So if you take your bleaching trays, which you don't really you have to use anymore, throw those in.
Interesting.
That's right.
All right.
And you won't look like you're getting shock therapy. You just came from the shock therapy clinic.
Okay. Yeah. And the last one is called is really just about paying attention to the muscles you're training. But trainers are taught to sort of cue people about what they're training, right? It's like you'll touch them in a certain place. So it's like, you cue them.
Oh, okay.
Like, think about what muscle is firing. Because there's a lot of different ways. I mean, seriously, just think about the way you walk up the stairs. If you walk up the stairs on the balls of your feet, you're all quads. But you really want to walk up the stairs on your heel, so it's glutes and hamstrings. There's a million ways to get through a movement. But the right way to do it is, you know, what are you trying to work? What muscles are you trying to focus on? Where is your body position? You know, you want your glutes to be firing. You want your hamstrings to be firing. So think about the muscles that you want to be firing.
Yes.
Think about the muscles you're training. And as a trainer, I'll never forget, Julia Roberts was like, why are you touching my ass? And it was so second nature. I was like this. Oh. I mean, she's like, I mean, it's okay, but I'm just wondering why you're touching my ass. And I was like, because I want you to squeeze here.
Because you're a pretty lady.
Yeah. And I was like, I want you to squeeze there. And she goes, can't you tell me without touching my ass with your finger? And I was like, I guess I could.
But it's
then the next day I touched her ass again. She just was like,
oh, that's
all right.
So funny.
Yeah.
Why are you touching my ass?
Why are you touching? She's like, she goes, Jill, buy me dinner. I kid you not. Jill, buy me dinner. And I was like, this is awkward. And it never occurred to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Ever.
Gracious.
And I was like, right. Okay. So think
Jill,
about
buy me dinner.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, I have to say.
Oh, that's
one of the
funny.
Nicest women. But anyway, especially when you touch her ass with your finger.
That's right. All right, I'll remember that.
Yeah.
If I happen to be on a plane and I run into Julia Roberts doing a movie in Vancouver.
You won't attack her like you did to
Jodie Foster? No, I'll just touch her ass.
You'll sexually assault her.
I'll sexually assault
her. Jillian said you'd be okay with this.
Like to go to dinner later.
No, I'll take you to dinner.
Oh, God, you're funny. Okay. We'll be right back.
Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken audio information, books, entertainment, you name it. Now, you can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Personally, I like to listen to them as bedtime stories.
Yes, you mentioned that last time.
Actually really
you like
the
bedtime.
I'll have, you know. Yeah. It's like your mommy reading you a little bedtime story. I'm serious. And who the heck has time to sit and read? I also listen to them in the car, too. All right, I'm digressing. With over 100,000 titles in virtually every genre, you're going to find what you're looking for. Now, I'm supposed to recommend a book, but the problem is I can't keep up with the Audible spots in my reading. So, because I fall asleep sometimes. So yeah. Autumn is going to throw out a book suggestion today. Make it a good one, Autumn. Go!
One of my favorite shows on TV right now is Duck Dynasty.
I don't know if you're familiar. Come on! I know.
It's a guilty pleasure, but...
It's a filthy pleasure.
Guilty pleasure that I am proud of. I was delighted when I went on Audible this morning and saw that Uncle Cy has a book.
Dear God.
No, really?
Yep. It's called Psychology One, Tales and Wisdom from Duck Dynasty's Favorite Uncle.
And you are trying...
He's brilliant.
To infiltrate really? The mind of my listeners with this smut junk.
It's pearls. Pearls of wisdom from Uncle Cy, just one after another.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm so glad that we really botched that up. For our listeners with decent taste in literature, Audible is going to give away a free audiobook to you and a 30-day trial by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's audiblepodcast.com/exercise. www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
We're back, and we have a special caller today because Vanessa won your fan rewards giveaway on Facebook.
Neat.
And she won the chance. Yes. won the chance to talk to you. So
I don't know how much of a prize that is, Vanessa, but I'm excited to answer any question you may have.
Vanessa, go for it. You got Jillian.
Hi, bud. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, so before I have my question, ask my question, I just want to say that I'm just so excited to be, you know, talking to you and Janice right now. I think you guys, the pairing is just the right match. Like, you guys are just hilarious in the content
and
information
Janice?
That you're just... No, Janice is hilarious.
Really? Are you sure?
Really? Don't, you know what,
because I do feel like I carry her a lot.
But, bless your heart, Vanessa. Don't even listen to her right now.
I mean, anyway, yes. Go on. It wasn't so Janice's crazy. Fan rewards, was it? Was it? But fine.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, so basically, like, before I get to my question, I just want to let you know that for me, like, you've been a big inspiration in my life. Like, I practically see you as, like, my mentor in my head.
Oh, thank you.
Like, every time, you know, I get to see you, I'm there. So I saw you once in New York. I saw you twice at a conference in Virginia. Wow. Not a stalker, but
no,
it's just, you
I
know, really
that.
your energy exchange, your presence, you know, your authenticity, your realness, just everything just attracted me to you.
Oh,
and,
you
know, even from my personal issues with weight loss and everything, with the DVDs and, you know, your products that really helped me to kind of get my life back in order. And then also... to kind of take that next step in my life, which is what I'm doing now, having my own business.
Right.
So, you know, you really served as that catalyst for me to, you know, really play big in my life and to really, you know, go after what I want. So my question for you
is... Well, thank you, by the way. That means a lot to me. So thank you for that. But okay, you can now ask your question.
So my question is, like, what are the top three things that has helped you build your business to the success that it is today? Because, I mean, to be quite frank, like, you're killing it in your industry, and you are the one to watch.
Gosh,
and for
you.
Me, just watching you continue to build your empire and, you know, strive to, you know, reach bigger and bigger heights, things that I'm not seeing other people do, and it just, you know, inspires me to just want to do the same in my own business.
Oh, thank you. Okay, you know, it's funny because Janice just threw this at me and said, okay, we're going to reach Vanessa. You know, she won the fan rewards program. She's got this question for you, and she just threw it at me. And normally I was like, oh, gosh, I want to really think about that and, like, analyze things to answer that question as best as possible. And then several things popped into mind instantly, and I thought, you know what? Even if they're not the most technical answers to this question, they're obviously, they were my gut reaction, and so they must be the most important thing to throw out there. And they probably won't revolutionize the answer to this question that I'm sure so many people get asked so often. But I would say first and foremost, and this one is sort of three things came to mind, so I'll have to start with, I have to blend these two a little bit. And the first one is passion. I love what I do. I love what I do. It never feels like a chore. You know, who wouldn't want a call from someone like you saying the things you just said to me? I mean, I love what I do. And I'm very, it's never driven by money. And I think that because it's not driven by money, I'm very passionate about the product. And I want to make sure that the product is fresh, effective, authentic. So it's never about the buck, right? It's always about the quality of the project because I'm passionate about the project. So the passion about the project, when it becomes about money, then it's very like, oh, well, how can we cut costs? And how can we, you know, well, that book is only supposed to have 230 pages, not 270. You know what our margins are doing on that? Oh, you know, you gave four workouts on one DVD. That's going to kill. That's going to cut into our other DVDs. Oh, you know, you going over 120 costs us 6 more cents a DVD. You know, and, and we don't, you know, my business partner and I, despite the tremendous upset of our CFO, we got to a place a long time ago where we decided that everything had to be the best. And, you know, we'd rather make 50 cents. I'd rather have a percentage of something than 100% of nothing. It's like we don't need, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. So, you know, the goal is not to be greedy and cut corners. It's to do what we love and put out the best product. And I think a big part of the success has come from that. A second part with any endeavor, be it business, health related or otherwise, any facet of goal achievement has to come from information. And the first thing that you have to do is get informed, very thoroughly and significantly informed before you take any action. And I've said this many times that action without information is devastation in your life. It's like a wrecking ball. You know, you start a business, but you haven't done the homework. Well, you're going to go out of business and declare bankruptcy. But you start a business and you've done the homework and you've saved the money and you've got your business plan and you have your marketing plan and you've thought things out. And although there might be course corrections along the way, there's a big difference knowing, okay, I'm going to need 12 months of rent. I'm going to need, you know, this is the amount I need for my employees. Oh, I've got insurance for this or that and coverage, Social Security, blah, blah, blah. I need X amount of money, dollars in the bank. Well, having a business plan and being prepared sets you up to succeed. So we really make an effort when we go into a space, whether it's a book, a DVD, an infomercial, a podcast, or what have you, to really research, okay, what works, what doesn't work, where is there a need, where is there not a need, how's the best way to position this? And we really do our homework to try to set it up to be successful. We don't just throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. And it doesn't say it doesn't always stick, mind you, because part of that learning process happens in the free fall and then you reapproach and you go like the tour. You know, when we started out on the tour, granted, we did say, oh, we want the ticket price to be, you know, $30, $50 and VIP at $70. But when it was given to Live Nation, they were like, well, we're in charge and you sold the tour to us and the tickets are, you know, $150 and you're in 6,000 seat theaters and we wanted to be in 1,500 seat theaters. Well, we learned all this different stuff during the tour and now we're touring again next year with all the information we have and we're in complete control. We set the ticket prices. I'm picking the venues. I'm doing the routing. I'm as in me and my business partner and our company. So, yeah, you might have failures along the way. You might go into it thinking, oh, you know what you're doing, and then things fall apart and you learn from it and you reapproach. And that's why having that proper information is key. And last but not least, really be honest with yourself about your strengths and your weaknesses. And a lot of people don't like to admit their weaknesses. But for me, I'm lucky enough to have been
in therapy a long enough time and to have been given a strong mm-hmm. enough sense of self from my mom, but I don't see my weaknesses as a lack of worth. I can deal with them without damaging my ego or self-esteem and fill the holes. So, you know, if I've got a house and it's leaking, and mm-hmm. I can say, all right, I need putty here or whatever. And not that people are putty, but I'll take somebody who has strength where I'm weak and allow them mm-hmm. to run different facets of our business. Like my CFO, he loves numbers. He went to business school. You know, he ran this big division of Amex. I don't care about that. And neither does Giancarlo, and we don't know anything about it. Giancarlo is a deal maker. He's a business guy. Like, I don't care about that mm-hmm. either. So, you know, I do what I do. They do what they do. My employees do what they do. And I'm willing to say, I'm not good at this. I need to get somebody who's good at this. I ask for help. And asking for help is not weakness. It's strength to me.
Yeah.
So you can't be afraid to ask for help and admit your shortcomings. Make sure that everything you do comes from passion and purpose, not fear or greed. Because I think fear is also based in it. Greed is based in fear. And really do your homework. And if you were to say, like, why me in the field? I get asked that question a lot. People are always like, why you? You know, you're not the best athlete in the world. And, you know, the thing is, I'm not an athlete. I'm athletic, but I'm not an athlete. I think why I've resonated so much is because I am my audience. I am the person that was overweight. I am the person that doesn't necessarily, like, I had a lesson with my boxing coach yesterday, and I was like, oh my God, when is this going to end? And it, like, I mean, every time I would look at that clock, it felt like, you know, time was standing still. Like, I had found a way to freeze time, and it was by working out with my boxing coach. I was just like, oh God. And it was like, okay, you know, 2 minutes running up the stairs, 2 minutes circuits. Okay, 2 minutes of this. And I was like, this is pure hell. I feel slightly nauseous. Like, I just was like, there's just nothing about this that I like. Nothing. Zero. At least on that day. And I was so physically miserable and I did not want to be doing it. But of course, when he left, I was like, oh, thank God it's over. And I'm glad I did it. Today, I'm really glad that I did it. But that's part of the reason I have my coach is, A, I'm not a super boxer. I do enjoy learning how to box and I feel like I'm getting better at it. So that's nice. But I'm like, Chad, if you were not here, I would go for a 30-minute ride on my bike and be like, all right, I'm all done.
Right.
You know? And so I think I'm way more like my audience than my peers. You know, when I look at my friends who are trainers, like my friend Andrea, right? Andrea Orbeck, she's a silver medal Olympian with a degree in kinesiology. My other friend Christy, also a medaled Olympian with an advanced degree in kinesiology. My friend Jeanette Jenkins was like a competitive athlete, a competitive natural bodybuilder. I mean, like, just a super, super athlete, an incredible fitness aficionado, loves to work out. These women are amazing. And when I say amazing, they are amazing trainers. So, like, all right, well, why Jillian Michaels? Because I'm not. I'm a great trainer. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not an athlete. And there is, I think for that reason, I've just been very lucky to ping with the audience because they look at me and they're like, I see myself in earnest because you do. You do. You are seeing yourself in me. You are. And then I deliver results because I want them for myself. This whole journey has been about me going, all right, what's the best way I can get this done? You know, how much better do I feel when I actually do it? So I think I think that does all come back to authenticity, transparency, and passion.
And absolutely. And I think a big thing with you as well is that you also hit it from the mindset aspect. You're not all about, like, take this protein shake and, you know, bench this in the gym. It's more like, okay, how did you get here? And you really help people to get to the root cause and really find out, like, how did they get there and why they're there and what's stopping them from moving forward. So I think, like, even in my own practice, it's really the mindset aspect is really difficult for people to get, you know, through to actually reach their goals. Because if you can't tackle that, you really can't.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I think of it way more as, I don't think of myself as a trainer. I think of myself as a coach.
Yeah.
And someone asked me this question a long time ago, and I feel like it was Greg Renker, who runs this big company called Guthy Renker, and he was like, okay, so talk to me about your position. Like, are you an expert that doesn't make mistakes? Or, you know, because, like,
you're really, you know, when you look at Susie Orman, this is not a woman, like, she's rich.
She's awesome.
Right, but she is an expert. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, ooh, I made a mistake on this investment the other day. And, you know, so he's like, are you this kind of expert? Or are you, you know, on the journey with them? A woman of the people, sort of. Susie is a woman of the people, but you don't get to see, you see a little bit of her background, but, you know, it's just slightly different. And I was like, no, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm always going to come at it from that very kind of humanistic perspective, but it's because in my area of expertise, fitness, I do have that on lock. I really do. I have complete and total faith in my ability, but I also am coming at it as a woman with kids and a business owner. So you're going to see like, oh, I messed up parenting. I messed up with my business. I messed up. And I do think just it is about coaching people and coming from your own experience, but also having that area of expertise and being relatable because you're being yourself. And that's always key in your business is to be yourself and be authentic, be transparent. And, you know, the truth will set you free. The truth is enough, man. It really is. And if people can't handle the truth, then you're not the one for them. Be it friend, significant other, coach, or otherwise.
No, that makes perfect sense. Just one thing real quick.
Yeah.
Do you have like any like quick tips for like someone like me? I'm coming from Wall Street and I'm transitioning into my, you know, new business now.
Yeah.
So it's a complete different, you know, transition, and I'm doing it because I felt like there was a bigger calling on my life. It's always been there. I've always known it since I was little. I just never knew what it would manifest into.
Sure.
So it's just like for me to leave that industry and to you know, take on the entrepreneurial role, and, you know, it's not easy.
No.
You know, when you're, you know, building your brand, and, you know, that's why I think a lot of entrepreneurs turn away from it, because you get scared, you're fearful, you don't, it's really like you're walking into the world of an unknown. So it's like, how do you keep pushing forward in spite of, you know, feeling like, you know, crap, like this natural, should I still be doing this? And,
well, okay.
You know, should I have left?
That's okay. So you're talking about fear, of course, fear of failure and all the things that come along with it. And we've talked about this, and I'm going to reiterate it for you because I think you need to hear it. So anybody who feels it's redundant, just push the little fast forward thing on your iPhone. Okay, first thing with fear. Number one, Wall Street's always there, okay? So number one, you fail and it all falls apart. 99% of anything you fail at is going to be recoverable unless you die, and you're not going to die by starting a business. Okay, so I can't tell you, every billionaire I know has declared bankruptcy at least one time. And anything you go through is recoverable. You learn from your mistakes. You reapproach. It's a matter of attrition, not making the same mistakes twice. And ultimately, you stay in the game. Persistence and fortitude, or patience and fortitude, as my shrink tells me, and you will get the brass ring. So failure, that's all it is a matter of perspective. Number two, the why. What is your why? Why is the risk worth it? Remember, if you have that why to live for, you can tolerate any how. The how being the work, the uncomfortability, the movement into the unknown, the risk that you have to take. But if you have an emotional attachment to the outcome, a passion for what you do, waking up happy every morning, a meaning in your work, which Freud said, you know, there are two main areas of our life, personal and professional. This is half of your life. Don't you want to get this right? Don't you want to be happy? And then imagine yourself being happy and doing what you love and having this purpose. And that should help push you through the difficulty of the how, of the work, of the risk, of the uncomfortability. And then the third question, and this is the most important, what if you do nothing?
Right.
Take me to the end. It's the end of your life. You never acted on it. What if you do nothing? Then what? What if you do? I mean,
I think that's one of the things that's kept me going, because it's like, for me, Wall Street is not an option. That's just completely out. You know, I'm not going back. I felt like I'm meant to do what I'm doing. I'm going to go for it. And it's like you said, I definitely think of the why. And then, you know, ultimately, like, I don't want to, you know, die and then, you know, have regrets like crap.
That's what happens if you do nothing. Nothing does not beget nothing. With neglect comes decay. Nothing will always manifest your worst possible scenario. So therefore, no matter which path you choose, do or die, you literally won't die, and either is better than nothing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you can only lose if you do nothing. Think of it like that, because that's the truth.
True.
Okay?
Sounds good.
All right, I'm counting on you. I'm going to put a little pressure on this.
Oh, my God.
On this big...
You might see me again in March, so...
All right, I'm excited!
Awesome.
All right, sweetheart. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks for the call. Bye, Dennis.
Bye, Vanessa. Take it easy.
I thought I would just smear this fear-laced scenario for her with a little guilt of expectation.
I know, and you added that in very nicely at the end. It was just like, oh, now I have to be accountable. You know,
yeah. It's like, I thought I would do that.
That's very good.
We'll be watching.
We'll be watching you.
Yeah.
Very good. That was fun. That was great advice. I appreciate that.
Of course it was.
I know. Hey, you know what?
But.
Gotta go.
Fine.
Gotta go.
Had to sneak it in. Okay, all my little baby Einsteins out there, if you want to stay sharp and you want to keep your memory in shape, goodness knows, after becoming a mom, it all seems to just seep out. I don't know where it goes.
What's that in the floor?
that's my memory. My memory there. Thank God, though, because Lumosity.com is one of our sponsors. And this is so awesome what these guys do. They've created this online website where you can play games that have been developed by neuroscientists to help improve your brain's performance, your focus, your memory, and so on. You can customize it. You can focus on anything you want. It's like a personal trainer for your brain. Just go to Lumosity.com now. Click the Start Training button to create your own personalized training program, and then just play your first game. It's that simple. Lumosity.com. Tell them you heard it from me, Jillian Michaels.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.